You are listening to Koinonia Church, passion for God, compassion for people.
Hello, Koinonia Church. I am so thrilled to be with you for part three of our series on 40 days of prayer. And if you have not jumped in to be a part of this, there's still time. It's never too late to get right into where we're at and engage in prayer with God. Prayer is critical and essential to our relationship with God, to seeing His will happen on the earth. And so it's one of the things as followers of Christ that we want to get better and better at. So hopefully you have your workbook. This is one of the great ways that you can get involved and stay on track. There's a 40 days journal in here. There's lots of prayer tools. Like I said, it's not too late. You can get these at 111 in Hanford. You get them online, lots of different ways. It has your small group material in there and a daily guide. And if you do have your book and you want to follow along today, it's actually not follow along. There's a place for notes today on page 37. No, not page 37. Where is it? Somebody tell me. You can shout it out if you're in your group there, page 65 of your workbook, and there's a blank there, but you have to write really small because, you know, when Pastor Andrew preaches, there's going to be lots of notes, so make sure that you don't write too large. I want to talk to you today about setting the stage for a growing prayer life. We want to grow in prayer. I mean, I want to grow in prayer. I need to grow in prayer. As I have shared before, I believe that God wants to build in our church and our community a mountain of prayer. He wants us to grow in this area. Not that just that we would be better at prayer, but that we would do more of it, and it would result in a transformation of our lives and of our communities. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, "Never stop praying." Never stop praying. The Apostle Paul tells us, hey, listen, there's something that you guys need to know. In this life of following Christ, you are supposed to pray at all times. And another translation in that same verse says, pray without ceasing, right? How in the world are we supposed to do that? How are we supposed to pray without ceasing? We have to do other things. We need to eat. We need to drive. We need to go to school. We need to do whatever. And the whole idea is that we can live a life filled with prayer, that at all times, in every way, we are praying continually. Ephesians 6:18 says it in this way, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, right? All the time, anytime, whatever you're doing, whether it's a party or it's a funeral, whether it's a wedding or it's a wake, we need to be praying because this is a continual communication in connection with our Father. He says, be praying at all times, on all occasions, with every type of prayer. That means there's lots of different ways that we can pray. You might have learned one form of prayer, but today what I want to talk to you about is how do we build a life of prayer? How do we set the stage so that we can win at praying? At the end of the message today, what I'm hoping is that you will once again make that decision to engage in a regular time of prayer and that you would have the tools together so that you can feel like you're winning at it. And so that's where I want to begin is I want to begin by giving you a list, essentially, of things that you need to know to set the stage for prayer. And then the first one is this, is that you need a time for prayer. You need a time for prayer. When it comes to prayer time, we tend to pray at the beginning of meals. We tend to pray maybe at the end of the day, right? There's a time for prayer, or we pray when we, you know, something bad happens and we really need help from God. And I just want to encourage you, when you're talking about, when you want to build a life of prayer, that means you want to decide every day a time, a window, a spot that you can say, this is my prayer time, because it becomes then a prayer habit and it becomes a lifestyle of prayer. So the first thing that you need to do when it comes to a time for prayer is you need to pick a regular time. We're creatures of habit. Human beings are creatures of habit. We like to do things in routines. When I get up in the morning, my favorite thing is to walk to the coffee machine and to make coffee. And it's part of that ritual that helps me to wake up every single morning. And we need to build into our life that same kind of routine with prayer. So it helps if we pick a time and we keep that time every day to the best of our ability. I know that some of our schedules are different and it's difficult and so on. This is not a thing where I'm trying to say if you don't have this time that happens every day that you need to feel guilty. I'm not saying that at all. I'm simply saying there's something about that time that is a regular reminder that keeps you going back to meeting with the Father. Psalms 59:16 in the New Living Translation says this, "But as for me, I will sing about your power. Each morning I will sing with joy about your unfailing love. For you have been my refuge, a place of safety when I am in distress." The psalmist says, listen, I've picked a time every morning when I get up, I'm gonna pray. I'm gonna praise the living God. What is your time for prayer? Maybe it's in the morning, maybe you're a morning person, maybe it's in the evening, whatever that is, pick a time and do your best to, maybe you set an alarm or maybe you set some kind of routine and you know better than anyone else what is the best time for you. If you pick a time that is just convenient in the moment for you, but it's not gonna work for your schedule, then it's not gonna work for you. And so you have to pick a time that's gonna work regularly. We've selected in my house during this season that we're gonna pray about 8 p.m. with the entire family, just for a few minutes. We're not doing like an hour of prayer, but we gather whoever's there, and we've just decided eight, we're most all of the family's there usually. Maybe one child is missing, their activity, whatever it is, but whoever's there, we're gonna gather together and we're gonna pray, and we're gonna make sure that we're doing that day by day. What is the time for you to engage in prayer? The second thing about your prayer time is that it needs to be an uninterrupted time. It needs to be a time to the best of your ability that you know that you're going to have a few minutes to yourself. And so it doesn't, if you're at home with the kids, which many of us are these days, it doesn't do you any favors if you pick a time when the kids are going to need you, right? And so if you have little kids, right, it's good to do it during nap time. You might have a few short minutes to yourself, or you know, you don't want to do it during a time when they're going to be hungry and they're going to be begging you for food. Whatever it is, you don't want, if you're working, you don't want to do it in the middle of the day when you're going to be having meeting. So pick that time that's uninterrupted. Matthew 6:6, we'll come back to this verse later on. It's such a powerful one. This is Jesus talking to us about prayer. And he says, "But when you pray, go away by yourself and shut the door behind you," right? This is time for you and God. This is time when you're going to quiet other things and you're going to meet with him. And then the third thing about time is that pick a time when you're at your best. Don't pick a time when it's a downswing for you in the cycle of the day. That's why I like the mornings, because for me, I'm a morning person. I just naturally like the mornings, always have. But I have discovered that not everyone likes the mornings. When I got married, I discovered that there are some people that really find the morning to be a detestable thing. And so morning times for me are great, and that's my time of prayer. But perhaps for you, it is an afternoon or an evening time. When are you at your best? Because no one wants to try to pray and engage with God when they're about to fall asleep or when they are at the end of their day and they have nothing left to give. So you need a time for prayer. The second thing that you need is you need a place for prayer. You need a place for prayer. Now, for some of us, this can mean it doesn't have to be a room, but for many of us, it is a room, or maybe it's a car, it could be a spot. But really here, I just want you to designate a place that becomes your designated place of prayer. There's something about setting that place aside and you decide, okay, this is my spot. And in this spot, I'm gonna meet with God. And some of you have a room in your house maybe where you have already done that or you could do that. It might be a chair in a certain room. It could be, like I said, a car if you commute to work or if you're in the car for a certain period of time, particularly if you're by yourself and you can find that to be a holy place to meet with God. But pick a spot, right? That same verse that I just read, Matthew 6:6, Jesus says, hey, when you pray, go away by yourself into the room, close the door, and pray to your Father in private. There's something special about having that specific alone time with God. He says, then your Father, who sees everything, is going to reward you. So have that designated place, have a prepared place, right? So not only pick a spot, but then prepare the spot. Because if you pick a spot, but you don't get it ready, and it's all messy, and you get in there to that room or that spot, you're going to only be able to think about how messy it is, and you're not going to be able to focus on God. So some of us are very, very, ordered in our life, and we can't handle things when they're out of order. And so we have to bring the spot into order, which is an external ordering of the space so that we can have internal ordering in of ourselves, right? So some of you that are neurotic, you know who I'm talking about, you need to make sure that spot is prepared, that it's picked up, and that it's clean so that you can actually get that out of your list or out of your mind and focus on prayer. So prepare it. Now, if it's your car, right, you can prepare that place as well. And I'm not only speaking about the cleanliness of the environment, but it also can be the atmosphere of the environment. How do you prepare a place? Well, you can prepare the atmosphere by putting on worship music. You can prepare the atmosphere by lighting a candle that is a scent that you like, right? And suddenly all of those things are setting a space, they're preparing the place for God to come in and to meet with you. And then the third thing about this idea of a place for prayer is that make it a consecrated place. And the idea of consecration is that you're taking this place and you're setting it apart for a holy purpose. That's what consecration means. It means that you're taking something and that you're basically designating it for a holy purpose. And so make that space that you are selecting for your prayer time, make it holy. And how do you make it holy? You just say, well, Lord, I'm going to meet with you here in this spot. Here in this spot, Lord, I'm going to designate time to talk with you. I'm inviting you into this space, and this space is for that purpose. And by actually making that decision and that declaration in your heart and in your actions, what you've done is you set that spot, that place aside for a holy purpose, and God, He's going to meet with you there. All right, so you need a time, you need a place. And thirdly, you need a strategy for prayer. All of us need a strategy, because if we don't have a strategy, then we end up with shotgun types of prayers. And shotguns generally are effective only at close range for a short distance. They don't last very long, and they're not powerful over a longer distance. We're building a prayer life of success for a longer life. And so I want you to be successful in that. So you need to have a strategy. And the first thing you can simply begin is by deciding, how long am I going to pray? Now, this is a big deal, because sometimes what we do is we overshoot our abilities to pray, and we get motivated. We come, okay, we're doing 40 days of prayer. I'm going to pray for an hour every day without fail. I'm going to grow in prayer. I'm going to grit my teeth. I'm going to make it happen. But then you get into it and you realize an hour is a really, really long time. And so pick a time that you can do, but pick a time that is kind of the framework for your time of prayer. And maybe that's 10 minutes, maybe that's 20 minutes, maybe that's an hour, whatever that is, but you set that as the boundaries of your time of prayer, so that when you get bored in 3 minutes, you know, okay, I'm not going to quit yet. I got to go on a little bit further. And there's something about setting those boundary marks that is really helpful for us. And I suggest you set a time that's realistic for you, but also one that challenges you, that's long enough to where, you know, maybe it's longer than 2 or 3 minutes, something that you're going to have to press in and you're going to have to work a little bit harder. If you're only relying on your internal emotions about prayer, then typically we're not going to pray for very long. The second thing is after you decide how long you're going to pray, is decide where I'm going to go in prayer. And what I mean by that is what is the pathway that you're going to take in prayer? If by the same token as your time, you're just kind of relying on your whatever comes to your mind, then many times we will end up not having much to say to the Lord, because if you're like me, you'll just run out of ideas and you find yourself repeating things over and over again. Who else do I pray for? What else do I say? I don't know. So a strategy is really helpful, and there's all kinds of different strategies that you can have when it comes to prayer. One of the great ones that's very familiar is the Lord's Prayer. We're actually going to talk about that next week, and I'll teach you a pattern of the Lord's Prayer that will, if you don't know it, if you're not familiar with it, will really revolutionize your understanding of how to pray. Another one is the ACTS model, A-C-T-S. And ACTS is easy to remember because it's a book of the Bible, and it just stands for adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication, right? So we're going to praise God. We're going to then confess our sins to Him and our need for Him. We're going to say thank you for what He has done to us, thanksgiving and supplication. We're going to ask Him for our needs. And that very pattern gives us an outline and a model for prayer. What do I do next? Oh, I don't know. I ran out of things to say to the Lord in this area. Well, okay, let's go on to the next letter and let's go on to the next method. There's others. You can find lots of different resources out there for doing that. PACE is another one, P-A-C-E. I was unfamiliar with that one, but that's another one you can use. Praise, accept or abide, commit and embrace. So you can look that one up, PACE. I love Dick Eastman wrote a famous book some probably 20, 30 years ago now, probably longer than that, called The Hour That Changed the World, or the hour that changes the world. And in it, he gives us an outline of how to take 1 hour and divide it up into 5-minute segments in prayer. And he gives then those 12 different things that we can do during that hour. And before you know it, you've prayed for an hour. You didn't think you could do it, but because he's broken it up in that way, it's so very helpful. I mean, you can simply make a prayer list. Spend a few minutes before you go in prayer, or keep that piece of paper or that list on your phone throughout the day and just begin to write down what you're going to pray for. It never fails that I'll tell someone, hey, I'm going to pray for you about that. But if I don't write it down, I won't remember when I go to God in prayer what it was that I was supposed to pray for. I promised all these people that I would pray for them, and I can't remember even one when it comes down to it. So keep a prayer list and then bring that with you. So those are just strategies that are just practical ways that we can win when it comes to prayer. And then lastly in this section about how to win in prayer in terms of your strategy is have a strategy for how you're going to deal with interruptions. How are you going to deal with interruptions? We will be interrupted when it comes to our prayer time, whether that's an external interruption, the kids or our spouse or the phone rings or whatever it might be. The dog goes nuts, and it never fails. Something always happens when you've dedicated yourself to prayer. There's always a distraction that is seeking to pull you away, almost as if we have an enemy of our soul that's trying to fight against us, or our flesh itself that is beginning to cry out. And when I start to pray, I realize, oh, I really wish I would have eaten something. I really need, you know, it's all those things that come up in that moment. So we're going to have external interruptions. So we're going to have internal interruptions where our mind begins to speak to us as we become quiet before the Lord and we begin to focus in this area of prayer. We begin to think of the things that we need to do that we forgot about. Think, oh my gosh, I forgot about that. And, you know, then we start to panic, and then you're starting to, you know, you say, well, I got to pray, you know, so I can't go away from prayer, but I can't forget the thing that I have to do, and we find ourselves conflicted. So what is the strategy that you're going to have in order to deal with these things? Well, if it's an external interruption, then you can pre-plan a strategy, right? If it's the kids that are going to come to you begging for snacks, well, bring some Cheetos in with you, and so you can hand them under the door to the kids as they reach for you, for mom or dad who's trying to pray. You know, if it's the phone that rings and maybe you have to answer it, but you can have a pre-planned strategy for what you're going to say. You know, hey, this is Andrew, but I need to call you back because I'm right in the middle of something. Can I take a message? You know, you have a way of dealing with that. Internally, right, for all those thoughts that come up, the to-do list, write them down. Just write them down right then. Don't feel embarrassed about it. Oh, yeah, I got to take this stuff to the cleaners. I got to deal with the dog. I got to do this or that. Write the stuff down and then put it to the side, and suddenly you'll find, I can continue on without having to worry about those things. Now, let me give you a toolbox for prayer. I'm just going to list off a number of different things that are going to help you, again, in what you can bring to God in prayer and how you can do it. And some of these you're going to be familiar with, they won't be new to you, but it's very helpful whenever you're doing a project, and here we're doing a prayer project, having a variety of tools to work with. So let me just give you some things. First of all, I want you to make sure that whenever you pray, that you're praying with expectation, that you're praying with faith. In other words, when I pray, something's going to happen. Something's going to change. God doesn't want you to pray without this sense of actually something is going to happen on the other end of the prayer. We don't pray just to make ourselves feel better. We don't pray just because God says you must pray. No. We're praying because there's actually something that can change as a result of our prayer. He can do work inside of us. He can do work outside of us. He can change situations. He can move nature itself. He can stop things supernaturally. He can open doors. He can do all kinds of things. But how often do we go in prayer, well, we're just doing it because we got to do it. God bless, you know, so and so. And it's like we have no true expectation that God's going to do something. And so we need to pray with an anticipation that God is not only hearing our prayer, but that he's moving on our behalf. We're told over and over and over again that he's waiting for us to ask, that he wants to respond to us. And Jesus himself said, hey, if you only have the faith of a mustard seed, this mountain can be moved. And so when we come in prayer, we need to say, okay, God, you're going to do some things here today. It may not happen in the way that I expect it. It may not happen in the timeline that I want it to happen, but I know You are a God that responds to prayer. The second thing is that I want you to pray with purpose. I want you to pray with purpose. Don't just pray by accident. Don't just pray whatever comes into your mind. But we're praying the purposes of God into being in our lives, in our families' lives, in our community. We'll talk a little bit more about that next week when we talk about the Lord's Prayer. But this is one of the things that Jesus tells his disciples. This is the way that you pray. Like, God has given you a job here on the earth, that we're actually bringing heaven down into earth with our prayers. We're inviting him. We're giving him authority to do the things that he wants to do here. And so he's giving us a purpose. So now, we're praying with the purpose of building relationship with God. We're praying with the purpose of seeing our hearts transformed so that our desires and our will becomes his will. We're praying with the purpose to see him transform our family and the world around us. So let's pray with anticipation, and let's pray with purpose. The third thing I want you to know is that it's so powerful to pray together. Now, you need to pray in private. You need to have a private prayer time. I want you to do that. Jesus himself said, go into your room, close your door, do it in secret. But I also want you to understand the power of praying together, praying with your spouse, praying with your kids, praying in agreement with someone else. There is a power that's there that we can't miss, right? And so when we pray with the Holy Spirit, we're praying in agreement with his will. This is not a matter of we're just throwing up whatever we want. We're actually seeking to pray according to his will, which is in agreement with him. This is what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 18. I also tell you this, if two of you agree here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. Wow, I mean, that power of agreement is something that's very real and oftentimes something that we miss. That's why oftentimes when I get a call or I get a message about a critical issue, maybe in our congregation, someone that's in the hospital, something else, I will usually say, particularly if I'm around my family, I'll say, hey, come and pray with me right now. Let's agree together that God's going to move in this situation because there's more power there. And I want to say to you who are married in particular, make sure that you're praying together with your spouse. Now, that's not always an easy thing. You know, sometimes we have different backgrounds or there's pressure or there's expectations. I'm not talking about you got to have a designated prayer time that it's always the same. And that, you know, I'm just talking about when you two come together in agreement and you decide, you know, we're praying for God to move in this area. Maybe we need to see God move in our kids' lives, or we need to see a breakthrough spiritually, or we need a provision to happen in our finances, that your agreement together is powerful, and don't ever miss it, and don't ever underestimate it. Number four here in our toolbox is pray the scriptures. Pray the scriptures. If you're not sure what to pray, then open up the scriptures and begin to pray it. Open up the Psalms. Open up the New Testament, Book of Ephesians, and an incredible prayer that Paul prays about the church, about you and me, and just begin to pray in agreement with him. One of the beautiful things about praying the scriptures as you read and pray what is there is you begin to understand more and more what God's will is for us, for you, for me, and for the earth, what he wants to do. And we have complete assurance that as we pray his word, that we're praying his will. And so if you're not wondering, if you're not sure what to pray, boy, you just begin to pray the scripture and you begin to pray the Psalms. You begin to declare who he is and how he can show up at any moment. That even though everything seems to be against us, yet still God is faithful for us. And we begin to pray in that and through that. Number five, pray what's on your heart, very simply. Very simply, pray what's on your heart. God wants to know what's on your heart. He wants you, even though he knows it already, because the word says that he knows what we're going to pray before we pray it, he still wants us to say it. He still wants us to say it. If you have kids, you know that you might very well know what's in your kid's heart, but there's something different when they ask you for it, when they tell you about it. And God not only knows what's in your heart and wants to hear about it, but oftentimes he has placed in your heart some of those things. And he wants you then to express it back to him and open your mouth to him so that he can fill you with the thing that you need. Number seven, pray for others, right? So it's okay to pray for yourself. And you need to pray for yourself, your needs, what God needs to provide for you and the desires that are in your heart, but also then begin to pray for other people. And I think if we only pray for the things that we want, right? And remember, it's not just our greeds, right? It's our needs that we're supposed to pray for. If we only pray for the things that are in our specific sphere, then we're missing out on the opportunity really to see God move in other people's lives. And we become many times too selfish in our prayers. So keep that list long of people that we are praying for that are beyond ourselves. Not only others that we know, but perhaps others that we don't know yet. God, would you bring into my life people that need to know about you, or that people that I can have a word of encouragement for? Lord, I'm praying for even other places and other nations, people groups that don't know you yet, people that need to hear your word, people that need to have the Bible translated into their language, people that need to be visited today. We begin to pray, people that are broken today, that are hungry today, that don't have shelter today, and we begin to pray for others. It begins to expand our understanding the greatness of God. And so often our prayers are so small because we keep them about our specific sphere. But when we begin to open up the door to see and pray for the way that God wants us to pray, which I think is so much larger than that, we begin to see that the entire earth, right, that is filled with the glory of God, the entire earth is also the subject potentially for our prayers. And he wants to come into every single area. Number eight, pray specifically. Pray specifically. Don't make your prayer so general that an answer to prayer is uncertain. What I mean is that sometimes we get so general in our prayers that when God answers the prayer, we're not really sure if he answered it or if it was just kind of happened, right? And so I want to encourage you as an experiment, but not only as an experiment, as a habit, to get very specific in your prayers. And you will be amazed at the way that God loves to answer specific prayers, almost like he's just kind of smiling at us and saying, you know, yeah, what else you got, son, daughter? What else you want to ask for? Because I'm going to surprise you with my goodness. I remember I had a professor in Bible school that was teaching us this principle, and so I decided to exercise it. And I was selling a vehicle, and I looked up the blue book for this car, and it was a certain price. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to ask for more, and I'm going to ask for this specific amount of money. And there's no reason that anybody should pay this amount of money for the car. Now, I didn't ask for $1 million. It wasn't something that was ridiculous. You know, I mean, I didn't have faith for that. My faith was kind of small. But it was certainly more than what anybody needed to pay for the car. And then I just began to pray. I said, God, would you please, you know, I'm just going to ask that you would do this, not because I deserve it, not because of anything other than I'm just asking that you would answer my requests and demonstrate your faithfulness. And I prayed. I turned down an offer or two because I just wanted to be faithful in this experiment. And sure enough, this person came through. I think they were in a different state, and they gave me the full asking price for the car. And I thought, well, is that really God? Or maybe I wasn't specific enough. So make your prayers specific. Make your prayers outlandish in that sense. Don't just pray for a car. Pray for a car the color that you want, right? Don't just pray for a healing in general. Pray for a specific healing. Pray for a specific thing that you have on your heart, a need that you have in your life, something that's, you know, that your kids need. And let's get very, very specific about it, because God, boy, he's creative in the way that he's going to do that. And he loves to show off. He loves to show off. But I think oftentimes we just don't give him an opportunity to show off on how great he is. Number nine, pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Let me just read this verse to you, Ephesians 6:18. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Now, praying in the Spirit can be praying in your spiritual language, right? What we call speaking in tongues. Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians 13 and 14. And as we pray in the Spirit in that sense, there are so many things that are happening. We're praying according to his will. We're praying the perfect prayers because it's what he wants to pray. We're building our faith. There's many positives to that. So that's one way of praying in the Spirit. I encourage you to do that. And if you don't have a prayer language, I encourage you to ask God to give one to you and begin to explore that, because he will do that, I believe. But praying in the Spirit is also praying simply according to his will and his direction. And sometimes we can come to the Lord, if we're not careful, we will do this often, and we will pray simply out of our natural mind. We'll pray good things, but we won't necessarily pray God things. We won't pray the things that are on his heart. Even, you know, knowing what is in the Word of God can give us an information about how to pray according to his will, but
But the Spirit always is willing to pray through you and to guide you in your prayers. And so if we only pray according to the list that we've written down, and we don't ever give space for the Lord to kind of guide and direct our prayers, we'll miss praying the thing that's on His heart that day in that moment. Because there's certain prayers that He has for you to pray at specific times, that He wants to unlock faith, He wants to unlock doors, He wants to do things through your prayers. But if we're only praying out of our natural mind, we'll miss praying in the Spirit. So we pause, we listen, we ask Him to speak through us. We make sure that we give Him space, and then we'll find that sometimes He'll bring a person to our mind, He'll bring a situation to our mind. We'll find that we'll have a stirring in our heart in a way that, wow, that's not really something I normally think about or ask about. And you say, oh, well, perhaps You're speaking to me, Lord. Perhaps You want me to pray in that arena. And we begin to pray then according to His guidance, which is even deeper. Romans 8:26 says this, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for. Ever heard that experience, had that experience before? But the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. This is the great confidence that we have, that the Holy Spirit is always praying for us. He's always willing to pray through us. And sometimes we don't know what to do. Things are so deep, so difficult. We're experiencing so much pain sometimes and trauma. All we can do is groan. And yet we know that the Lord Himself is praying in those moments. The last thing is number 10. I want you to pray with authority. Pray with authority. Now, Jesus Himself gave His disciples authority. And He said, listen, I'm giving to you the authority that was given to Me, that whatever's bound on earth will be bound in heaven, what's bound in heaven, bound on earth. There's keys that I'm giving you to the kingdom. He has given us as His sons and daughters, and that's you and me. If we follow Christ, it doesn't take a title by your name. You don't have to be apostle or pastor or have letters behind your name from a doctorate that you've received. The authority that we receive is a spiritual authority that comes by virtue of our relationship in Christ with the Father. And so when we pray, we can pray in confidence and we can pray in authority. That when we pray for God's presence to come in our home, well, we have authority in our home and we have authority that God has given to us. And so we can pray in confidence. Yeah, you know what? This is a place where God is going to dwell and His presence is going to be here, and every other spirit is commanded to leave in His name, and we're going to walk in this place in His will and His way. And that's an authority that you have to make declarations over yourself and over your family, over your sphere of influence, that you would pray with that strength, that you would pray with that anointing, that you would pray that thing that God has for you. I'm going to give you one more verse, Luke 10:19. This is Jesus speaking to His disciples. He says, look, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy, and you can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them. Nothing will injure you. When you go to God in prayer, you can go to God in confidence, then not only will He hear, but as you pray according to His will, there's some things that are going to happen. Where are you at in your prayer life? How are you doing? Are you pressing in? Are you engaging at a higher level? Are you challenged today? I just want to encourage you. This project of prayer and growing in this arena is so critical for us. And God's going to meet you as you take a step towards Him. Every step that you take towards Him, man, He's going to run many, many, many steps towards us. So pick that time. Pick that place. Designate a spot. Begin to create the environment. Say, I'm going to make an appointment with God, and I'm going to meet with Him. And as we do that, we will find He meets with us. I want to hear about what you're learning. As you're meeting in your groups, as you're praying individually, as you're growing in your prayer life, would you please let me know? Drop me a line. You can email me, andrew@kchanford.com, and go to our website, kchanford.com, and put it in the messenger there. Let us know those things that you're seeing. Tell us about the prayers that are being answered, because we want to share some of those wonderful stories. Let me pray for you today. Jesus, thank You that You're a God that hears our prayers. You're a God that's active today in our lives. You're not somewhere else. You're not occupied with something else. You're very present, You're very able, and You're very willing. So Lord, I just pray that You would build our faith, that you would help us to grow in this area of prayer. Stir our hearts, Lord, where those areas where we feel cold to you and resistant to you, we have failed before in prayer, we have seen our weakness. We're praying, Lord, that you would stir us up, that you would make us strong, that you'd give us hunger for you and to meet with you. Give us an ability, Lord, to pray that we would fall in love with this thing of communication with you, that we would see, Lord, your hand move. I pray that you'd give us faith of expectation and that you would help us to build a mountain of prayer. I pray this in your precious name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed the message, and we hope to see you on a Sunday at 9 or 11 a.m. Visit us online at kchamford.com, and if you want to support our ministry, click Give. Koinonia Church, passion for God, compassion for people.